Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew is on his way to Chicago, and so we brought our buddy Janelle in. She's going to be here until 3. Sue Thomas is here for Sue at 2 on Fridays. Robert Walsh says, when is Sue going to become a DGS full-timer?
Oh.
Funny you mentioned that.
I don't know.
We've done that. So.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reardon stole her away.
Yep.
As he does.
That's his way.
He's an evil man.
No, he is not an evil man.
He can make cookies, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought when he bought that thing, Mark Reardon goes right to the expensive stuff, buys it, is interested in it for about 2 weeks, and then it's done.
Yeah, so, what does that sound like?
I was going to say,
what does that remind you of?
That's a very expensive bell.
So he bought a KitchenAid mixer, and I thought, oh, that's really expensive. And then after 2 weeks, he won't care. And I said, you're going to bake cookies for 2 weeks and not care? He said, yeah, probably. But he kept going because the kid, good. You know, they've
yeah,
got, yeah,
it's
and
been
he kept
quiet,
going.
Like, week and a half, though.
And now it's been 2 months.
Oh.
So there's hope for you, Dave.
It's a phase.
We need to put him in. I'm going to put in an order right now. Make cookies,
he's
Reardon.
In Greece.
Oh, damn. Well, yeah. That's not going to do any good.
Never mind.
Dang it.
But that's what happened.
What is everyone's number one hobby? Like that, like cookie making.
I have several that I really like, so I don't know if I could choose. I like to garden. I like to bake, but the baking, since I'm not eating sugar, isn't a lot there.
Yeah, not a lot of fun.
So I have to focus on other
bread.
Things. I like to, yeah, I did do that, Kevin, and then you just eat it. Eat it and eat it and
exactly.
eat it. And
That's,
then, oh, it's terrible.
What's the downside?
You just get fat.
Yes.
And I like to go biking, and that's
See, there
it.
You go.
Yeah.
There's your solution.
You would think, but
bake
then,
and eat the bread, but make sure you bike.
Who has the time?
Eat the bread on the bike.
There you go.
I hadn't thought of that.
That
Dave.
Way you never even keep the calories. You just burn them.
Yeah.
In real time.
I don't know why I don't come here for all my answers.
We're going to solve
We're trying
all
to give
problems.
You the answers that you want, not the real answers.
Oh, yeah.
Janelle, how about you?
Well, right now it's scorekeeping for baseball, and then I love to read. I love to read. I just—that's
your only downside.
I know. I know. If only it made me smarter.
What kind of stuff do you read?
Everything.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'll read.
Your library's open.
I know. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I can't wait. Yeah. No, it's anything from nonfiction history to comic books. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'd have to say my biggest hobby is reading.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That didn't go over.
Saving,
did it?
It's not saving lives?
Well, that's more of a vocation.
It's also like, you know, working your way through medical school
right.
with a stethoscope.
Look, I got a lot of time away.
Yeah. Should she?
Yeah. See if you can hear your heart. The girl. Neither of the girls can hear their heart.
What are you? Are these for real?
Yeah, they're real. They're from a doctor.
They don't have ink on them or something. Don't worry.
That would be great, though.
Yeah. I mean, I've met all of them.
Remind me.
Jokes.
When Ben Boyd's in next, let's get him.
I would go skin.
Skin?
Yeah. Oh. She went straight to the wrist.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything.
See?
It's not just me. Wheels can hear our hearts loud and clear.
I got nothing.
I didn't hear mine either.
Did you, Rachel?
Nope.
She was the first of the undead.
You guys are all vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing.
Mm-mm.
You should probably all see doctors.
Yeah. Like, go to your doctor. I can't hear my heartbeat.
Wait, are these for real, though?
No, they're... Yeah.
They're from Julie Lally's doctor, Dr. Wiedner.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully, every woman that goes to see Dr. Wiedner doesn't think that she has heart problems. He's like, once again...
Hopefully, he can hear it.
I got nothing. Got a whole bunch of nothing. When you hear something crazy, Wheels, you'll love this especially. Maybe Janelle, since she reads. But I saw a scientist last night, a zoological type scientist, who said that the best estimate, give or take 2 or 3%, either way, is that we have discovered 10% of the species on the planet.
Yep.
Wow.
There are 90% of species yet to be discovered.
Is it because a lot of them are bugs?
Probably.
It has to
that,
be.
And there are a lot in the ocean, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because there's a huge percentage of the ocean that we've not been to.
That's what the show is about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, somebody tried to call BS on the we've only seen 10% of the ocean, but I think that's actually true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like the National Oceanographic something or other said that, yeah, that's about right. We've only been to or explored about 10% of the ocean.
Remember a story that was out probably in the last year about somebody going really far, deep down into some part of the ocean and discovering like an entirely different world.
This is recent. They found they found something like 20 or 30 things that they've never seen before.
Sea monkeys.
Just by dropping a camera down there. Well, those are shrimp.
Thank you, Kevin.
Brian Shrimp.
I appreciate that.
We used to call it having fried sea Brian monkeys. Sometimes the little crowns would hurt your teeth. Oh. I once made producer Tom drink sea monkeys.
Yeah. Oh. I remember that.
That's just fish food, though.
I do remember that.
It's just fish food, right?
He wasn't a fish.
No, but brine shrimp are pretty normal fish food.
Jake says Chico stick.
Those are delicious.
You and I bonded over the Chico sticks.
Yeah, we did.
There was a Chico stick wrapper in the elevator the other day.
What?
When Dave and Andrew and I were using it, and we said, Sue must have been here.
Because we know how you litter.
I'm a big litterer.
She just throws it on the ground.
Oh, my goodness. I saw somebody throw trash out of their car the other day on a parking lot, like a Schnucks parking lot. And it really made me mad. But I thought, what do you do? You can't go up there and confront them. They will be very angry. You can't really tell anybody. And it reminded me
Take a picture of their car and put it on Twitter and say they threw trash out their
window. Oh, I didn't think about that. Well, that seems like, I don't know. I just can't believe people do that.
Remember when we were kids and every time a car would stop at a red light, they would dump out their ashtray?
Oh my goodness, yes. Dude, like littering, like we talked about this before, but the 70s and even part of the 80s, littering was just a thing everybody did. Because when I was a kid, my friends and I, we would ride around our neighborhood on bikes, picking up the cans and bottles that people would throw out of their cars, and then we would take them back and get the deposit and buy baseball cards.
What was Spanky and Alfalfa like?
We littered. I'm Spanky. What are you talking about?
We littered so much it made the Indian cry.
It
did. That's right. That's who I remember telling us not to litter.
Like,
I don't know when it really switched, maybe late 80s, early 90s, but for a long time, it was just like you just drive down your neighborhood street and be like, oh, done with this. Boop.
Am I the only one old enough to remember the PSA ads about not smoking? And the father and son are together, and the son's about 7 or 8, and he takes a cigarette and starts smoking it, and they go, yep, he wants to be just like you. And I just remember being so bothered by that.
Wow.
And there was a song that went along with it, and it went like this, my buddy, my buddy. And then the kids like lighten up and they're like, you shouldn't do this. Don't let your kids smoke. I'm like, yay.
They're like, son, unfortunately, we do need you to inhale as we're shooting this
commercial. Oh my gosh.
It is crazy the things that we have to tell people now and had to tell people then. Don't throw your trash out of your car, right? Don't start forest fires. It's 10 o'clock. Where are your children? Like, why do people need to be reminded of these things? It's like
remember
pretty basic,
to eat
right?
Your cheese.
Yeah, and eat your cheese.
Remember time for timer?
Hanker for a hunker of cheese.
Yeah. Why do I remember that? Was that a commercial?
He was like a PSA.
Yes.
On Saturday mornings, he was yellow, had a top hat and a cane.
Yes.
And he lived in your fridge.
Oh my gosh.
And it was mostly for poor kids whose mom and dad weren't there to take care of them. And it was like, you can eat salami, you could lick the dog. Like,
Okay, I don't recall that line.
Yeah.
You could lick the dog. I got to look him up now. It does ring a bell.
It's going to freak you out.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Timer.
Timer.
Time for Timer.
Time for Timer. Okay.
Kind of looks like a booger.
He does a little bit.
Oh, he does.
Like a cheese, like a cheese bug.
Okay.
Ooh.
I couldn't wait to say curd. Curd is better.
A curd bug?
Just curd. He looks like a cheese curd.
Curd is another word that sounds like what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a curd.
That's a curd. Yeah.
Did you know? Go ahead.
Gruntled. Do you know what gruntled means?
Well, I know disgruntled. So does gruntled mean you've got all the gruntle and it hasn't been dissed?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody dissed your gruntle.
No, gruntled is a good thing. It means to be of good humor and cheer.
Oh, okay.
I am so gruntled.
Oh, you know what? I remember him in the cowboy hat. I didn't remember the top hat. Sorry. I hanker for a hunk of cheese is the one I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was his big hit.
Yeah. That was, that was his one hit wonder.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he had the other ones, but the other ones, they just didn't have the staying power.
Man, I took those things seriously.
Well, yeah, it was on TV.
Right.
Anything on TV.
When you're a kid,
TV.
You're like, you see that, you're like, I'm going to go get a piece of cheese.
Yeah.
You know, Dave.
Since I can't smoke.
You and I have talked about this before, how we were all told that you had to open the window during bad weather, like if there was a tornado coming, because it was going to even out the pressure.
Yes.
And all that was happening was rain was pouring in.
Yes.
And nobody believes me who isn't my age.
Nope. That was the big thing. That, especially if there is going to be a tornado, you open up all the windows, which I did about 15 years ago, sent the family to the basement, playing the hero, went upstairs, it's blowing everywhere, I open all the windows, I'm fighting against it, I go downstairs, we hear crash, boom, bang, and it knocked all the paintings off the wall and shattered everything.
Yep.
And I'll never forget, Maureen goes, you are a jackass. And I was like... hero's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Otherwise, our house would have collapsed.
Yeah. You want to be sucked into a black hole?
Yeah.
And so then I told the story on the air, and everyone's like, no, you idiot. You close all the windows.
Yeah, it's not
a thing. I've never been more sure of myself.
Oh, no. Well, I remember it. I remember
you
it.
Remember
it?
You.
Crack the window. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody, yeah.
Yep.
Now, they didn't say put it all the way up,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, I don't remember all the way up. It was just like crack it.
I go all the way, Sue.
Okay. All right. If a little pressure's good.
A lot is better.
Let's see what this bitch will do.
Dave's like, do or do not. There is no try.
There is no try.
So half implosion in this house?
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt so stupid as I was cleaning up all the glass.
It's not your fault they told you that.
I've been lied to.
Ugh.
It was a, what do you call that, an urban legend for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like every kid heard that.
That's mostly what I was brought up on. Just.
Wives' tales?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I think a lot of us were, though, at that
Someone, Brother Stinky, told him one time that XYZ, and you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that must be how it is.
That's good enough.
Well, you know, you got to trust Stinky.
If it's good enough for Stinky, it's good enough for me.
Yeah,
since,
I agree.
Since we're not reading books around here, I have to depend on Stinky.
True, yeah.
Next, we have our pal Janelle here with us and Sue Thomas from 97.1. Let's talk some movies.
Okay.
What did you see this week or last week?
I did see Thunderbolts yesterday.
And you've been waiting for that one.
I was. And I was pleasantly surprised.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It gave you old school MCU vibes, so I was very happy.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good, yeah. Good.
Those characters are really good in the TV show. Which one was it? Were they in Hawkeye?
It was no. They were in
Florence Pugh was in Hawkeye.
In Black Widow. Yeah,
Black,
she was
right.
She was in Hawkeye. The John Walker was in Falcon and Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm,
the TV show.
Right.
But then you had Ghost, who was in Ant-Man movie,
mm-hmm,
and Taskmaster, who was in Black Widow as well.
Yeah. So they've all been little bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good cast. Great chemistry. Like I said, it was nice. It wasn't a joke fest every 5 seconds. So I was very, very happy to see that. Yeah.
When did they make that pivot?
I feel like after Endgame, it just kind of, they had Shang-Chi, the Eternals, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It started Thor, Love and Thunder, Spider-Man, No Way Home. Everything just became just a joke, like constantly. And it was like, ugh, this is not.
What's the guy's name that directed Taika Waititi, who does In the Shadows?
Taika Waititi.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
But he got a little jokey.
Yeah, well, that is his nature. Like, that's what he's good for. But I don't think for, like, especially the Thor and Love and Thunder, the comic series it was based off, it just didn't need to be a joke. It was pretty a dark comic series, and he kind of turned it into a joke. But other than that, I know you don't have Peacock, or at least you don't know if you have.
I don't know.
I know.
How do you not know?
I don't know anything. I have no idea what I have until I...
Black bag is
happen across it.
All right. If there was a train show on Peacock, you would know if you had.
I would know if I had that. Yes.
Yeah. So Black Bag is on there this weekend. I think everybody should check that out. It was a great one. Last Breath, I think everybody enjoyed. That's it on Peacock. You have Baby Girl and Companion on Max. And there's two things, though. Did you hear about the Lin-Manuel Miranda movie that he's scripting?
Yeah.
The Molinas.
Yeah.
Which kind of worries me because he is a... He's a musical kind of guy.
He ain't going to make that a musical.
Oh, I would love that for you.
Oh, that's what, you know what? That's what my wife tweeted at me. Like, oh, I hope he makes it a musical. I'm like, stop.
Where is Benji?
Could you imagine someone playing Yachty, the quietest guy in the world, just bursting into song?
Yes.
I hit a home run.
Yeah. I can imagine it. I can imagine it for you.
No. God, just make them all monkeys.
Yeah, there you go.
Do what they did with the whatever Robbie Williams.
You'll
do that.
Get past it.
Nope.
All right. And the other
let
thing.
Let it go. These two have a whole thing.
Okay. The other thing was the, I did hear you guys talk about the Oscars, how they're now mandated to vote if they want to vote. And they have mandated to watch the movies before they're. But did you know they've already found a loophole in it that some of them, because all they are required to do is turn on the movie, you know, log into whatever they're. Turn it on, and they don't really have to sit there and watch it. Some of them have confessed to opening up other tabs and going to work and doing other things, turning on the movie, heading out, going and running their errands, so they're still not even watching.
That's how college kids cheat with GPT.
That's how I do our HR videos.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody does that. Because you just got to pass the questions.
Yes.
We're not really judging anybody for awards.
Yeah.
Right. Life-changing
awards. I have an opinion on movies, but I don't want to see all the movies.
Right.
Do people get paid to do that, or is it a volunteer
thing?
That's
a good question.
I don't know. I think it's just people that are maybe that are involved in the academy, you know, like directors, screenwriters, you know, like people that of their own peers, you would think. So you had a lot of people online that were like, I would do this job for free.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You guys don't even want to watch your own movies.
Well, we all have, this is, to me, very similar to, like, the Hall of Fame voting in sports. And there are guys that will turn in, like, the empty ballot for the baseball. If that's what you're doing, stop. Just stop doing it. Just take yourself out of the process. That's fine. If you don't have the time to watch a movie that's nominated for an award, then you don't have the time to do this. So just don't.
Exactly right. Yes. So, seen Havoc on Netflix, that Tom Hardy, how do you say his last name? Oliphant?
Yes.
Timothy Oliphant. He is, yes.
He's great.
Okay. Cool. All right. We unlocked something there.
Let me check your heart now.
Yeah. Your favorite series?
I was saying.
Favorite series is Justified, then?
Was he is a very good actor, a fine-looking gentleman. That's all I'm saying.
Quite a thespian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that movie is out now on Netflix, too.
I'm going to get a t-shirt made that says, Timothy Oliphant, yes.
Yes. That is a yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. I don't know if this would be your kind of movie, though.
Is it? What is it?
A lot of, like, cop, gang, corruption, shoot 'em, everybody's bloody kind of drama.
Yeah, you're right. I am out. But I do like a mystery, I like a twist, gangs.
No, there's a lot of shooting.
So what do you know him from? Because he's always
Justified.
In these. Okay, so it's Justified. It's not Justified. Like, it's not just the Western... Deadwood.
No? I never watched
that. You would never watch Deadwood?
It's so good in
it's
Deadwood.
It's the greatest.
Okay, I'm going to have...
He's
wait a minute.
He's the rock
Maybe
star
I
of Deadwood.
Did. Maybe I've seen one or two.
He's basically the guy from Justified, but in old times.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not too much shooty.
It's fair, yeah. Some episodes are shooty, a lot of them are not.
I don't mind a little shooty. I just don't like gore. I don't want like the whole thing to be gore.
It's not that in Justified. It's just
what I mean.
It's a lot of swearing. I'm sorry, it's not that way in Deadwood either, but it's a lot of swearing.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care about
lots
that.
Lots of swearing.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't they break the record for the F word?
Oh, there's a whole reel. I cannot even come close to the word that there's a reel of, but it's a 9-minute reel of one particular bad phrase.
Yeah. They were like, they were known for
Yeah, I mean it was like 9 minutes of just them saying that word in this show.
Nice. GS, happy Friday. We have our buddy Janelle hanging with us in Andrew's absence. We have Sue Thomas here from 97.1, Sue Add 2, and now the great Bernie Miklas joins us. Hello, Bern.
Dave Glover, great to be with you and the gang today on this Friday. What a great sports night this will be in St. Louis.
Yeah, exciting, really exciting. I enjoyed you last night on the, I don't even know what it was.
It was Sports Open Line last night.
Okay, because we sat here all friggin' day and didn't do anything. So it all ran together.
Yeah, I know. It's all these days are kind of running together. But, man, I love sports and I love what I'm doing and I'm working with you guys.
I loved your analysis. I love hockey. I just am not very well-versed at hockey. So I liked the way that you talked about in that last game. Here's what they needed to do. Here's what's worked in the past. They didn't do it for some reason. So set the stage for tonight.
Well, I'm really going to kind of review that really quickly because it's actually quite simple. I know that's easy for all of us to say, but it really is. When the Blues are good, they have a very strong 5-on-5 game. In other words, it isn't about, you know, power. Well, special teams are important, but my point is your foundation is 5-on-5 hockey. Three forwards and two defensemen plus your goalie. The Blues under Jim Montgomery have been a superb 5-on-5 team, one of the best in the league. In the two home games in this series, they were dynamite at 5-on-5. But in all three games in Winnipeg, they were terrible at 5-on-5s. They never really got into their game for any kind of extended period of time. Number two, the thing about game five that bothered me the most is because the formula for beating Connor Hellebuyck is obvious to everyone in the NHL. He's a tall goaltender that relies on reading the play, having a clear line of vision to do that. And playoff hockey tends to be a lot more physical, a lot more aggressive, a lot more chaotic. So the Blues took away his vision in games 3 and 4 by getting in his face, by crowding his crease, by not letting him see through this big clump of bodies in front of the net. But in all three games, and he fell apart. All three games in Winnipeg, they did very little of that. And in game five, they did basically none of that. And so the Blues know exactly what they have to do to win this tonight. And I'm confident that they'll do it. But if they get back to Winnipeg, my goodness, they're going to have to play one game up there where they get into what they do best and they have to have a plan of attack that causes Hellebuyck to snap, which he does in the postseason a lot.
Yeah. How much do you think, Bern, that this is in this particular series, which is what you're talking about, is dead on? How much do you think the back and forth between home and road has to do with the home team getting the matchup, like getting to choose who matches up against who? So when you put certain guys out there, they have a counter for it.
Well, it's definitely a factor, and you know, both head coaches have used it to their advantage. You know, and I think in the regular season it's kind of, you know,
right.
The playoffs it's a lot more intense in getting the matchups, and that's to your point. One of the reasons why Winnipeg has been successful at home is because their coach has been able to basically set it up as he wants to stop the Blues' top line, and at 5-on-5 they have stopped the Blues' top line up there in Winnipeg. Snuggerud's got a goal, but no one else on that line does. And also, you know, 5-on-5, the three games in Winnipeg, you know, Robert Thomas got one assist.
Wow.
And Buchnevich has no points. So, you know, and a lot of that is because they get the matchup they want, Winnipeg. Yeah.
Given the first few games and especially the big controversial hit, would you expect tonight to just kind of be a little bit of a bloodbath?
I think it's been a really physical series. In fact, I've been catching up on a lot of the postseason hockey because I record all the games and I'm going, my brother is my scout. He tells me, you got to watch the second period of this game. And I've been reading some veteran hockey scribes and analysts who are just saying, like, this is the most physical opening round we're talking about all series that they've seen in a long time. I mean, these fellas are playing high speed bumper cars in these rinks. They're just slamming into each other. So yeah, I would expect more of the same. The one thing I think, though, and I know I sound like a smart aleck, you know, I the Blues, it's good, I guess, that they seek out players to hit, but instead of looking for big hits, I would prefer that they hit the puck at the net. they haven't done that in Winnipeg. You know, they don't worry so much about the hits. Mm-hmm. Worry about hitting the net with shots.
So I also liked your analysis of the Cardinals when you did a classic Bernie Mikulas deep dive and realized that the offense was actually better and more consistent than was intuitive.
Well, absolutely, and I'm going to have a piece online soon. I was really slow to get it up because, as usual, I went too far and wrote too much. But it was about the first month of the season, and the offense. Listen, if you're going to judge the whole body of work, you judge the whole body of work. And in terms of a whole body of work, the Cardinals had a basically a top 10 offense. Now, they're inconsistent. They had a couple more games than I would have liked where they score one run or no run. But they also, in terms of scoring three runs or less, they were actually one of the better teams of not doing that, of avoiding that. And they actually had a lot of games where they scored five plus. So it really comes down to consistency for this offense. And, but if you look at the first month of the season, in other words, it ended April 30th, and you realize, Mason Wynn got off to a slow start. Contreras got off to a slow start. They've gotten nothing out of their DH position. Their most dangerous hitter, Ivan Herrera, only played eight games. He got hurt. Nolan Gorman got hurt. Jordan Walker's off to a bad start. It's actually pretty remarkable that their offense has been as good as it is, if you look at it that way.
And Wheels, I heard you talking about how important it was to find out about the players, and that if you have to make a choice between finding out who Alec Burleson is or who Nolan Gorman is, that's pretty clear choice for you.
I think, Matt Pauly and I were talking about that yesterday, and I don't know where you are on it, Bernie. I think you're the same as us. Because when you look at the two guys, one guy has significantly more upside than the other. I mean, Gorman has legitimate 30-35 home run upside. He hit 27 in basically 75% of a season just 2 years ago. Plus, he plays more premium positions. He can play second and third base in addition to being a DH, where Burleson is corner outfield or first base, and those are spots that are taken. And I'm not sure that – I don't want to make it sound like I don't think Burleson can play. I think he can. I just think the upside is higher with Gorman, which is where I would put the priority with the upside.
Well, no doubt about it. I'm with you all the way. And I'm I'm not going to hold back. It's nothing personal. I'm kind of over Burleson. No, I really am, because he's supposed to be a great contact hitter, which he is. And we saw what he's capable of doing when he's just attacks a strike zone rather than reaching outside the zone. Alec Burleson's got one job here in the majors. It's to hit. It's not to play defense. It's not to steal bases. It's not to go up there and bunt. He exists for one reason, to hit. He has not, going back to last season, right, late last season, he has gone 216 at-bats without hitting a home run. And since the All-Star break of last season, the dude is slugging .312. You could get Pete Cosma to do that, and I'm not even being facetious.
No. Well, here's the thing. We're talking a lot about Jordan Walker having a bad start to the year, which is legitimately true. Burleson's OPS is the same.
Exactly.
They're the same guy at the moment, but again, one guy's 22 and has, elite bat speed, and he's a great runner, and he's now helping you defensively a little bit, has a great arm. And I'm not saying bury Burleson. I'm saying that he should be less of a priority in terms of development.
I'm 100% in agreement, and I think that's great that you made a point that even I have not realized that Yeah, I mean, Walker's no worse than Burleson, and you know, yet Walker is the one that gets, you know, so much criticism and impatience from fans, and I don't understand that. I mean, we saw what he did as a baby, basically, in 2023.
Yeah.
It's not like this is his sixth year or something. And Burleson's been in the big leagues longer than Walker, to your point.
Well, and he's also 26 compared to 22. I mean, not just time in the big leagues, but also time. And the thing that Matt and I were getting into, Bernie, on Walker is this. I think the team and fans should be okay if he struggles even for the next few years. You need to ride it out with a 22-year-old player. You need to be, because a lot of hitters, especially, and if we track guys that are 6'5", 6'6", or bigger that are hitters, they take time. They take time to close up holes. They take time to figure out what they can and can't do. Aaron Judge wasn't even in the big leagues at 22. He wasn't even close. I think he debuted in his first full season. He was 24. And he was in college at age 21. So, like, I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Judge. I'm just saying that we might just need to build the team around letting him develop over more than 1 year and not just saying, well, if he's not good this year, time to move on.
No, I'm 100% with you. Now, with all due respect, you know, he's about to be 23. And he's he's considered like this is his age 23 season. Yep. But it doesn't change your point at all.
Right.
And you bring up something really interesting. The only thing I don't like about it is now, Wheeler, you're going to get me to spend like 5 hours researching the history of tall, big, young hitters and how long it takes them. So thanks for that.
I
don't have enough to do. No, that's great. It's great.
I love Bernie like a brother. We couldn't be more opposite. Every day I go into it thinking, what is the bare minimum I can do? And Bernie is editing, and I'm just fishing.
Well, I'm doing, shameless self-promotion, but I'm writing columns and doing videos for SportsHubSTL.com, and they're a friend of KMOX. We're all good friends. And I told when I started over there, I told the bosses, they said, well, you know, I'm going to get my column in really early, and I'm going to get my video in really early. And I found out like 2 days into it, it's impossible. You know why? And this is like a self-serving observation about myself, so I apologize. It's because I'm too thorough. I research too many things. It's like I just have to know all the information. So I just spend hours looking up stuff. And I mean, and it's just like I drive myself insane. So I got to try to economize. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
You need to hang out with me. I'll teach you the lines.
Dave will give you some influence. Yeah.
Try too much, you do.
That's right. Well, but, you know, then again, Dave, if I started to be, you know, just like Mr. Economy with words and time spent on certain things, who the heck would be able to curl Wheeler?
Oh, that's a fair point.
It's a fair point.
I thought that was a joke. Nobody left.
No,
sorry.
You nailed it. It's just spot on, Bern, is all it is.
Yeah, you struck right in the middle of the bullseye.
So, I didn't realize I touched a nerve there.
No, anyway, not a nerve. It's just dead accurate. You can't, you know, no lie detected.
Joking. Yeah, he has no nerves. so let's hear about Saliga before we lose you for the weekend.
I will. Let's go Blues, right? Let's go Battlehawks. Let's go Cardinals.
Happy Friday to everybody. I have a little bit of a hitch in my giddy up in my throat, and I think it's making me like 30% sexier.
30?
Is that even possible?
That put me over 100, solidly.
Dave, there's no such thing as 110%, man.
I can't clear my throat because it all goes away. coming up at about 4:40 today, we're going to end the show with a preview of Rachel's interview with Mike Bush from KSDK, which we'll play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. Sue Thomas Show, what's coming up?
Well, mine is about Ed Wheatley's new book, St. Louis to Cooperstown. So, of course, it's all Cardinals, but he pulls from the Negro Leagues and the St. Louis Browns and the Perfectos, and he talks about the percentage of Cardinals, or people who at least, players who have something to do with St. Louis in the Hall of Fame, and it is a large number. And he makes all the connections for it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was just telling the guys, I just spoke to Ed, he's doing a book for Rawlings about baseball gloves. and famous baseball gloves having some local people like myself talk about their first glove.
That's awesome,
and
Dave.
I mean, right when I said that, I'm sure every person out there who played ball, you thought of your first glove.
Mm-hmm.
How you got it, who bought it for you, how you broke it in.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is.
Yep. They're the best.
What was yours?
It was a Rawlings. It might have been a George Brett or a Mike Schmidt model, but I don't remember exactly.
Joe Rudy for me.
Oh, was it? Wow.
From the Oakland
A's.
That's
a flashback.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, the one I've stuck with, I have the same fielding glove that I've had since college, and it's a Rawlings, and I think it might be a pitcher's model. It might be a Nolan Ryan model, but it's really cool. That's a perfect glove. The perfect glove.
That's going to be
for fielders,
thing.
Nothing more perfect than a catcher's glove. Mm.
Yeah, catcher's gloves,
which is also a Rawlings as well,
and first baseman's mitts.
Yeah,
especially the claw. Remember the claw, that three fingered thing.
Those things are crazy.
That was super cool. Thank you, Janelle. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Sue. Appreciate you.
Thank you.